بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Welcome to session 4 of the Muslima Self-Care Conference. This session will be led by Raisa Hiwala, the Divorced Muslima Coach, and she is going to tell you who this is for, if you did not know already. But I just want to welcome you, Sister Raisa. Thank you so much for being here. Everybody who's here live, Jazakumullah khairan. I know that it's been a long day. I just want to thank you for being here. And everyone who's in the Facebook group as well, thank you for being here. Take it away, sis. Bismillah.
Awesome. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Rabbi shrahli sadri wa yassirli amri wa ahlul 'uqdatam min lisani yafqahu qawli. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Thank you for that warm welcome. I'm really excited to be here. And I have some slides I'm going to share with you. So I'm just going to share that and we'll hop right in right from there. Okay, so welcome to the Muslima Self-Care Conference. My session is about being unbreakable beyond divorce, rediscovering your innate resilience and confidence. And I am Raisa Kiwala. I helped Muslimas whose marriage has broken down to come back to their true, whole, healed self, their fitra, and be unbreakable so they can take charge of and step into the beautiful life they deserve to have with clarity, fearless confidence, and innate resilience. This has become my mission with an overall vision of supporting women and children to be whole, healed, and healthy in order to have healthy families in our ummah. So I just want to take a moment to acknowledge and appreciate your time and your investment in joining me here today in this supportive, safe space. And just to take a moment to close your eyes, take a deep breath, and just ground yourself, center yourself with making an intention of why you're here and what you would like to get out of this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has brought us together. And inshallah, this will be a beneficial session to move forward in our journey. So, okay, so in this workshop, you're going to learn the formula to be unbreakable through the pain and chaos of divorce and beyond, regardless of your external circumstances. So, and what self-care really means and what it looks like. And number three, where resilience and confidence come from and how it relates to self-care. All of this, no matter how crazy, chaotic, or complicated your situation is. So, have you ever felt like a failure because your marriage didn't work out? And as your marriage was breaking down, so were you. And now you're feeling burnt out, bitter, resentful, angry, and lost. I want to take a moment to just pause and sit here and to reflect. You know, I'd love for you to share in the chat who here has ever felt this way. And if you haven't, if you didn't feel this way, share with me what you did feel. Okay, yeah, so we got a whole bunch of responses here. Yes, us too. Relief. Yes, in my first marriage, yes. My second, no. I have felt this way. And disappointment at times. My second marriage, I felt relief. Currently feeling this way, I'm going through a difficult and tough time with my marriage, which is new. Not married, but excited about this session. Yeah, and thank you, ladies, for sharing. What, you know, if these are not the symptoms or the feelings that you've experienced, for sharing what you've gone through. And a lot of people do say relief. It's like this sense of relief that they can breathe again. I feel exactly this way, and asking that question brought tears to my eyes. I am still married. Yeah. You know, there's so many women that are feeling broken, that are feeling just like, just the thought of it, just going to that place in your mind is so emotionally overwhelming that it just, you know, the tears start to well up in your eyes. You know, just being in that space. Yeah, I feel this way. I appreciate you ladies just so vulnerably sharing and connecting. Let me, my first was hard to let go, but I would have been haram to stay. Yeah, I hear you. So let me go back to sharing here, because I can't see the chat. So I have to stop my share and go back. I can't see the chat, so I'm going to go back.
It's really annoying the way they've done that. They really need to make you able to see the chat when your slides are up. La ilaha illallah.
Yeah, well, you know, it's okay. I'll make do with it. Just go back and forth and we'll keep going. So thank you for sharing with me how you felt. And so what I found is that in order to have that beautiful and successful life that you deserve, it's all about reconnecting with the two essential relationships in your life. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran, I did not create the jinn and mankind except to worship me. And verily in the remembrance of Allah do hearts find rest. And I know we've all heard this, we all know this intellectually. But we today, I'm going to share with you a real deeper meaning of what that looks like. That's going to help you really appreciate how this relates to our two most important relationships that we're going to be talking about. So there was a time when I was going through this myself. I was completely lost, burnt out, hurt, and angry. There was nothing left of me, nothing positive, no hope. It was really hard to find no light in that dark tunnel that I was in. I spent my time just so focused on pleasing my husband, performing in a manner that I thought would make him happy, you know, going to the extent of compromising my values and even doing things that were displeasing to Allah in order to make my husband happy and keep my marriage intact. I was actually the epitome of a people pleaser. Yet, no matter what I did, it didn't work. And it was never good enough, leaving me deeper in that belief that I'm just not good enough. Okay, you suck, Raisa. And that was the rhetoric and the narrative that was going on in my mind. You know, that type of self-loathing was the lens that I saw myself through, because I couldn't make my husband happy, nor could I keep my marriage intact. And in fact, you know, as I discovered later in my healing journey of connecting to my two most important relationships, that I discovered that I was a people pleaser in order to feel validated. I was codependent because my value and my worth and my validation in my mind was all related to how people, my husband, felt and thought about me, and of course my external accolades, such as my marital status. So in this desperate situation, you know, living the way I was living as a people pleaser rather than Allah pleasing, I realized that that was a form of shirk. And so desperately and with humility, I had nowhere else to turn, always relying and depending on someone else, that I just desperately turned to Allah and I asked Allah for help. And Allah did send me the help, right? And so going through this process of the help that I needed with mentors, coaches, programs, people that were sent to me by Allah to help me detach from this codependent relationship was so excruciatingly painful. Because when you start stepping into and taking charge of your life, stepping into the person that Allah created you to be, and then you are taking back ownership of your life, and the person that you allowed to have so much control of you loses that control over you, the separation becomes extremely highly conflictual and even volatile. They're just not used to that dynamic. And it looks like you're the unreasonable one, the troublemaker, you know, just because you're not conforming. And then, you know, you can be at the other end of the brunt of the lashing out. So I had relied on my husband to make all of my decisions. And of course, to do all my thinking for me, because I didn't know how to think. I had no voice. There was no Raisa, right? Before that, you know, in my parents' home, I had relegated that, or I didn't know, because I just left all of that up to my parents. I just felt obligated to obey them at all costs. I looked to everyone and everything outside of me to tell me what to do, how to do it. And others' opinions and advice mattered so much to me that I couldn't live or function without it. And yes, this was the dysfunction that I knew as normal and safe. And as I began going on this deeper into this healing journey and started becoming detached from things and people, my relationship that I had to those things and people, I reconnected back to my essential relationships and you know, got back to my fitra, discovered who I really was, a valuable, honored, magnificent creation of Allah. And so it allowed me to step into that truth and have a new relationship with myself and to go from this space of internally of self-loathing to self-love, of being filled with this self-love, with this love from Al-Wadud, from the never-ending source, that nothing or no one could fill me that way, to be able to have that strong, solid, secure, unbreakable foundation has allowed me to clearly, calmly, confidently navigate the challenges of a high conflict divorce in a manner that's pleasing to Allah, rather than just going on my whims and my desires and my feelings, and ongoing co-parenting conflicts and challenges where I even had to make the, you know, hardest decision of my life of letting go of my two older boys, because they were caught in the crossfire of, you know, emotional manipulation and parental alienation, where it was healthier for them, for me to step away and for me to let them go. With, you know, I was able to make that decision from a place of clarity, of wisdom, of knowing that I am letting go and leaving them with Allah where they belong. And that is the best thing to do that causes the least amount of harm. And, you know, subhanAllah, stepping into that space rather than, and being able to have that intelligent, wise thinking that comes from being connected to Allah, rather than the insecure, fearful, you know, hurt space where you're just acting on your fears and your feelings. And of course, these type of shifts in within myself allowed me to make decisions such as this and other ones that have transformed me internally, which has reflected external shifts and decisions that I've made in my life. So I'm just gonna check in with you to see, do you guys wanna know a little bit about how I got here? And I'm gonna just check back in the chat again. So I have to just switch back here. Let's see.
Lots of sisters responding in the chat, mashallah.
Okay, I'm right there. I'm just going to check in with you. Yeah, okay. Alhamdulillah, yes. They can even use the children to hurt you. Yes, absolutely. Hurt people, and then all the hurt spills everywhere. And unfortunately, the kids get caught in the crossfire. Yes. Yeah. Someone says, sounds like you're married to a narcissist. You could say that. But what if it's not the best for them, though? Sounds like you were married to a narcissist again. Wow. Yes, I was. Yes, please. Yes. And you know what? When you, a person who has narcissistic qualities and characteristics, they're very insecure people who need to control everything and everyone in their life in order for them to feel safe and secure and okay. And a person who is not secure in themselves and is very codependent and reliant on someone else to hands over their control. So it's a very good fit. It fits. And that's why people who are codependent are attracted to people with those kind of narcissistic qualities, because it fits. And so, yeah. And then when that's a dynamic, you know, and you try to step out of that without the proper grounding, it, you know, you don't even realize what's going on. It just gets so reactive and it's painful. Until you get back to your source, until you get back to your grounding, that, you know, I'll show you, it doesn't matter what your situation or your circumstance or who you're dealing with. You're only getting that test or that trial because Allah is giving it to you for a reason or a purpose. Yes. Okay. I'm getting all these. Yes, please. Alhamdulillah, you came out in a good physical and mental. Yes. Alhamdulillah. It's not good to leave your children with them. You know, there's lots of things, and that's the thing is outcomes. We're not in charge of outcomes. We're only in charge of our intention and our effort from a calm, clear, good wisdom space, thinking. We don't make decisions based on our feelings and our nafs and, oh, we feel this, I'm going to do it. I feel this, I'm going to do it. And so, you know, I didn't leave the children with him. They're with Allah, and Allah is taking care of them. And he knows exactly the experience and situations that they need for their journey. And alhamdulillah, you know, I also have the hope that my children will be returned to me the same way as he returned Prophet Musa to his mother, and the same way that Allah returned Prophet Yusuf to his father, Prophet Yaqub. So in his time, in his way, in his manner. And, you know, I have a life to live and a purpose and a mission to do, and I can have beautiful patients the same way that they had. Yeah, you know, it is an opportunity to grow, and it's available to anyone. You know, we each go through our own tests and our trials, and Allah knows exactly what he gives us and why. You know, you can get through your storms and your tests and your trials with what I'm going to share with you next. Aw, thank you for all the hugs. I appreciate that. Mwah. Yeah, you feel like a failure as a mom if you don't protect them. So thank you for sharing that. You do feel like a failure, but you are not a failure, because who is in charge of protection? Who is our protector, our provider, our maintainer, our sustainer? When we really believe that and we act on that belief, we leave outcomes in Allah's hands. Yeah, well, it's not there's no looking back, you know, and that how long, everything happens according to the Qadr of Allah. And so what I'm going to share with you is going to show you how to intuitively know what's the answer to that, right? Because each of us has the answers to our own journey, or our own tests and trials within ourselves. It's not someone telling you is not going to give you the answer. Yeah. So thank you so much for really, like, you know, connecting, being here and sharing so openly what you're feeling, what this is bringing up for you, and just being here with me. All right. So let me get back, and I will share with you a little bit about how, you know, I got here and why I do what I do. Oh, thank you for the hugs and the love. I appreciate it. I appreciate all the love. So let me get back into sharing my screen. All right, so, okay, here we go. And I think I might be able to see the chat from here. Let me see, all these functions that we learn for Zoom as we go. Let's see, well, let me keep going. Here we go, more. Oh yeah, it does let me see the chat. Yeah, okay, cool. So I don't have to keep going back and forth. All right, let's keep going. So today I am going to show you how to go from that burnout, you know, to blooming, right? That self-loathing I was talking about to stepping into inherent true love because you see it, right? So as we've gotten caught up in the turmoil of our marriage, the turmoil within us has built up and we've lost sight of where true contentment comes from. As your marriage breaks down, you simultaneously break down, right? And you know, we talked a little bit about burnout and just what it leaves you with, fumes and resentment and just, you know, anger and just disappointment. And a lot of what's happening here is also, you know, there's so much pressure put on women from a very early age about their role of becoming a wife and a mother, honorable roles, right? And there's so much of our value and our self-worth gets connected to our marital status. It kind of blends and gets meshes into our identity. And so we operate from that place. So, you know, if this is falling apart, what does that mean about you as a woman, as a person, as an individual? These are all things that, you know, I help women to uncover as we go deeper into the healing journey and understanding where our value and our worth really does come from. Because I think we've all heard this intellectually, we know it, but at some level, subconsciously, we're not believing it because we haven't been conditioned to. So what's really going on is that you've placed your well-being on a person, you know, your marital status, and, you know, people are fallible, of course, so you're going to get let down, and that's the design, right? The design is not meant to work on being, relying on others for our well-being. The design is that we are meant to be dependent on and reliant on Allah alone. So your marriage didn't work out. It's not about fault. Sometimes the marriage doesn't work out. And there was still a purpose to it that you will uncover as you go through your healing journey by reconnecting to your foundational relationships. So it's about the how. How are we going to move forward from this and claim back our life and live a peaceful, content, fulfilled life moving forward, married or not? And some of you may never have had a life where you consciously claimed, as was the case for me, never did until I think my 40s. and so rebuilding, reinventing, consciously getting back to your birthright of your fitra, of being strong, secure, securely connected and rooted in your foundational relationships actually opens the door to self-love and giving yourself the self-care that you deserve and are worthy of because you exist. So let's get into what those foundational relationships are. And let's see here. I'm going to check in. Let's see. Yeah. Trust in Allah and leave the outcome to Allah. Yes. His Qadr, Akbar, hugs and loves to you. Jazakallah khair. Jazakallah khair. Takiya, night. Thank you. Thank you as well. Aw, hugs, mashallah, for your strength. Hi. You know what, ladies? Allah made you already whole and healthy and secure, and that strength lies and resides within you as well. And, you know, the strength that you're seeing in me is within you. It just feels like it's kind of lost or hidden or just kind of buried, and you're not able to see it at the moment. It's there. It's there because Allah made you that way. Salwa saying, I relate, the first thing that leaves you is your clarity. Boom, you're right. Mental fog, confusion, just heaviness, weight, all of it. And you just feel like mush and you feel drained, no energy. And you just want to go and eat a tub of ice cream and Netflix binge in your pajamas all day long, right? Has anyone ever been there before? Because I know I certainly have. Yeah, Farina is saying, forget that Allah has given that strength to us. Absolutely. Yeah, Takiya is saying yes, yes. Okay, so let me keep going. We talked about our foundational relationships. This is the formula, right? Your two essential relationships to be unbreakable. Because Allah did not create you and give anyone or anything power to break you. So we have to remember that. It can feel like our circumstance or situation or marriage or children or health, whatever is going on for you, it just can feel like it's weighing you down and it feels like it's just breaking you. Well, that's not true. And so how, you know, we need a strong, secure, solid foundation so we won't crumble when the storms come. And you better believe that that's what this life is about. Tests and challenges to really, you know, when Allah says, they say they believe and they will be tested, and surely we will. So our relationship with Allah, right? How we're meant to show up in this life is to worship Allah. That comes in many different ways, and be securely attached to our never-ending source. And worshiping Allah is our point of our existence here, right? And verily in the remembrance of Allah do hearts find rest. And this, and how we are experiencing this life is through the remembrance of Him. And this doesn't mean, oh yeah, just do your prayers. Oh yeah, just make dhikr. Because sometimes we forget to make dhikr, right? So remembrance here is really about, where is Allah with you? You know, it's you and Allah on this journey. You and Allah before you got here. You and Allah when you came out of your mother's womb. You and Allah in this life. You and Allah in the grave. You and Allah in the afterlife. Like, it's just you and Allah, no one else. So Allah has to be with you in the forefront in everything that you do, every step that you take, every thought that you have. Is Allah there with you? That's what this remembrance means. And when He is there with you, you will be at rest no matter what is going on outside of you, no matter what storm is brewing up, no matter who tries to do what. And so part of this, how it works, is that in order to worship Allah, we have to know Allah and love Allah. And we cannot know and love Allah to worship Him if we don't know and love ourselves. And that comes hand in hand, right? You can never even truly know yourself without knowing yourself through your relationship with Allah. They go hand in hand. They just, you can't separate one from the other. And so this, verily in the remembrance of Allah do hearts find rest. This is what is meant by the relationship you have with yourself. How you're experiencing life. Understanding that you are experiencing your life moment by moment through your thinking. How you are relating to yourself. Right? We need to understand ourselves and know ourselves, being conscious that you are attached to Allah. Because if you're not, then it's very easy to get distracted and become attached to something or someone else. And so these foundational relationships, this grounding that makes you unbreakable, it's through having a beautiful relationship with Allah and yourself. And that's the solution. So I want to get into, I'm going to go a little deeper into what this means, but I want to talk a little bit about the barriers that comes with not understanding our own human experience of how we are relating to Allah, how we are relating to ourselves, because that will give us the answer of how we relate to everyone else, every decision we make, every action we take or don't take. Okay. So let's get into the barriers that I want to teach you about today. I'm going to teach you and just touch base on the key to your innate well-being, your fitrah. Remember, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala already created you whole and healthy. It's already within you, your light, your fitrah is there. So we have been lost in the misconception and belief that our circumstance, our situation, or a person is causing you to feel a certain way or has the power to make you feel angry, hurt, upset. Thinking or believing that something outside of you is causing your feelings and not realizing that you are actually living in the feelings of your thinking in the moment. So this is all coming from inside of you, right? And this is how you are really experiencing life. It's not due to the stuff that's happening outside, the circumstances and situations, because remember, we don't have control over that. We can try to fight and have control over that, but Allah decides those things. We decide how we choose to respond to it, right? And this is what I mean by the relationship with the self. It functions through your reality that is being created in your mind through your thinking, which feels really real. And it's been, and most of our thinking, 90% of our thinking has been subconsciously conditioned. So we're not even really aware of it. We're just reacting on autopilot, right? And we're not aware of it until it comes to the surface level and we are become conscious of it. And so what's keeping you stuck and what is the barrier of getting to this place? You know, now that I've taught this to you, well, what is getting in the way of actually living this way, of stepping into this truth of how we really work? It's a whole lot of thoughts and feelings. That is the barrier to you actually having that good connection to Allah and yourself. That connection that allows you to be strong, secure, stable, and resilient, no matter what is coming from the outside. And it's kind of like, you know, someone mentioned in the chat about the mental haze, the fog, the heaviness, the confusion, the racing thoughts. That is what I'm talking about here. All those thoughts and feelings is like a mental haze. And that is what gets in the way of having that good connection to Allah. You can think of it as like a Wi-Fi connection. It becomes weakened. The signal becomes weakened between you and Allah, your direct link, which is always there. That link that you need to step into tawakkul, which is what we need to get through these challenges, right? To step into that, to step into taqwa, because we can't have tawakkul unless we have taqwa, which is God consciousness, right? So if we know that God is with us, we have nothing to fear. We don't have to worry, like, you know, like he's got our back and we know it and we believe it and we act accordingly. So it's like that poor Wi-Fi connection and that allows you to tap into the intelligence and the wisdom that Allah has provided for you to know how to navigate the tests and trials in this life. And, you know, like, you don't have to do anything to get it. You already have it. It's just a matter of seeing. And when I'm talking about seeing, I don't mean seeing with your eyes. I mean seeing with your heart. and where your heart is connected, right? And being in this space of connected, consciously connected to Allah, remembering Him in every moment, allows you to also step into acceptance of Qadr of Allah. I mean, I've experienced this, and many, many of the women I support and even work with have such hard time accepting Qadr, accepting their marriage is over, accepting, you know, any hard, difficult things, accepting loss, accepting things not working out the way you wanted or anticipated or expected them to, right? Just letting go and being like, okay, Allah, it wasn't in the cards for me. It wasn't in Allah's plan for me, right? And that can become a real, real struggle that causes a lot of suffering. So being able to step into that natural state that Allah created you in, of effortless peace, tawakkul, acceptance of Qadr, and also of self-love, right? That because you're connected to the source who is the most loving, the most compassionate, the most forgiving, the most kind, the most merciful, you're going there to be filled with, like, you know, a never-ending tap. So then you can give it to yourselves, and then you're full, and then you can interact with people from those characteristics that Allah has filled you up with, that you can go and interact and make decisions and show up with ahsan, with Allah's characteristics instilled within you of kindness, compassion, forgiveness, you know, and love, because you have love for yourself, you can give it out. And so this is what I teach in my programs, and this is just like the what, the how, and getting deeper into it. And this key of how you're experiencing these two relationships is really how I go deeper into my programs, where I can help you unpack all of this to have that deeper level understanding so you can have this life that you deserve. And so, you know, like I said, all these things, a lot of them we know intellectually. A lot of, I'm sure that things that I'm telling you make sense and you perhaps know them, but how do we step into that? So when we see this with our heart, the mind follows. And then when we see it with the mind, the thinking follows, and then the actions follow. So it's those shifts that we have through being connected to the source allows us to shift internally and show up differently and take charge differently and respond differently. And guess what? When we make those internal, like when we allow for those internal shifts to happen within us, then Allah comes and changes your external situation, and that door to that opens up. Then the outcomes change. When we start to focus on, no, this has to go this way. No, I have to get her to do this. I have to get him to do this. I have to get my child to do this, and trying to control everything and everyone. Well, we're competing with Allah, and we're never going to prevail, because only Allah's plan prevails. And that's futile. And that's not the formula. The formula is we change within ourselves. Then Allah, you know, changes the outcome to how He deems is best. And we have contentment with that. So when we have these shifts, we automatically step into self-love. And from that space of self-love, of feeling worthy and valuable enough to give yourself the self-care that you know that you deserve. And this is how it works. When we just try to do, oh, I got to do this for self-care, I got to do that, it feels really hard. And, you know, you're like, it just feels like another thing to do, because this is not about doing without being. You have to be in that state of being first, inherently, in order for those actions to externally manifest effortlessly. Then it's not a chore to do what you need to do. It's not a chore to say no, because you're not managing other people's feelings of how they're going to feel if you say no, because you know you own your feelings and they own theirs. And so, you know, this, so when we have these shifts, we're able to automatically step into that place of self-love and self-care from a space of confidence and clarity, and being able to give ourselves what you need and the respect that you have for yourself will allow you to give you what you need, right? And to be able to speak your truth, to exercise your ability to be an independent free thinker, a servant of Allah, which is what Allah expects of you, to think and contemplate and reflect and then act, because we have to account and own our actions, right? So anything else other than being able to give ourselves that inherent self-love and self-care is actually self-loathing going on underneath, that, you know, is, you might not be able to recognize it, but it just feels really hard. Like I said, again, a lot of it comes from not having been modeled that type of example, what that looks like, what that means. Part of it comes from not being connected to our foundational relationships, of being secure in ourselves. And you know, when we are not showing up that way, it's actually insulting to Allah, because, you know, the love that Allah has for us and how he has in the Quran, I'm totally paraphrasing, but in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that how he has honored and dignified and validated us above all creation. Like, the love that he has for us, you cannot find that or compare that to anything or anyone. Like, we can't even fathom that, even as mothers. And so, like he created us, he owns us, you know, like, how bad do we feel when our child talks negatively about themselves, or even our friend, you know, like, can you imagine what Allah sees when he sees us dissing on ourselves or ragging on ourselves by not taking care of ourselves in the manner that we deserve to take care of the amanah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us? It's actually insulting, it's disrespectful. Because it's all a gift, it's all a divine gift on loan that we are going to have to account for. And then, so when you're in this space of self-love, even making decisions about your marriage or, you know, how to move forward is going to come with ease, because you're going to have clarity. You're going to have the clarity to know that what you're doing is the right thing to do for you, and you're doing what's pleasing to Allah. You'll be in sync with both of them. And that's in a very different space to be in, right? So, you know, my invitation to you is to really think about what is possible for you. Because we've just gone, I hope you can see how much deeper that verse of verily in the remembrance of Allah, what it means, and how important our foundation is, and what that means in terms of our unbreakable foundation, right? In order to have that beautiful life that each one of you is worthy and deserving of, according to your maker, right? So that means that how you talk to yourself, how you view yourself, how you respect yourself, how you value yourself and your time and your choices, right? And so there is a reason and a purpose, no matter what you're going through, and even the end of your marriage or the breakdown of your marriage, no matter how it ends, doesn't define you. You know, Allah didn't create you that way for your circumstances to define you. And that there's a purpose for all of it, right? And that Allah has big plans for you. So don't shut the door on the plans Allah has in store for you or waiting for you. Actually, I want to do a little exercise with you. I want you to just come back to this moment, and I want you to, when I ask you this question, I want you to pop in. I don't want you to think, because that will take you away from what you truly, truly want and believe deep down in your heart. I don't want you to think, because once you start thinking, you're going to start thinking about how, what if, it's not possible for me, or I don't want you to go there. I want you to just connect to yourself, connect to your heart, and I want you to write down a dream you have for yourself. What is something that you want, you desire, you dream? Just don't think, write it down. Come on, ladies, no thinking. Don't let your mind take you away from what's truly in your heart. And don't edit it. Don't second guess it. If you're brave enough, just share it here. This is a safe place and, you know, a affirming place here. Wow. Wow. Look at this. Business, my business and writing, independence, travel the world, financial freedom, to be successful at what I do, helping others. Look at these awesome things that are living, these dreams, these desires, these things that are waiting to sprout out of you. And look at this. I mean, Allah knows exactly who He created and why He created them, and they're just sitting within you. Career growth and financial freedom, being a good nurse. Wow, awesome. Keep it coming, ladies. Keep it coming. I know each of you has something within you to be knowledgeable and acquire more knowledge. Wow, these aspirations, they don't have to die or be squashed. They can come to fruition. And again, it's not about you getting these. The way it works, like making it happen, your part in making it happen is your intention and your action. Doesn't mean that you make that outcome happen. Allah will make that outcome happen the way He deems fit, and He's the best of planners, right? But you have to take an action step. And sometimes we get confused on what that is. But connecting back to yourself, connecting back to your relationship with Allah, and what is possible for you is not based on your thinking. Because you're not the one who's making it happen. You just have to have your intention and your effort. So these possibilities for you, don't shut the door down. That's something Allah's waiting for you, you know, for you to open up with your own thinking. Because if you don't believe that it's possible for you, you will not even try. You will just shut the door and woe is me. You know, I can't do this, or I can't do that, or I don't have this, or I don't have that, right? And we get stuck and we become our own worst enemy. So I want you to know that you may not think it's possible, but you're not in charge of that. If, you know, all Allah has to do is say, be, and it is. So if, you know, why wouldn't Allah give it to you? Why wouldn't Allah make it possible for you? Why not? And again, this comes down to how we are thinking about ourselves, how we are talking to ourselves, how we view ourselves, how we value ourselves. And so this is just the tip of the iceberg of what I've shown you in the formula. And I can't tell you everything in this short session. And what I wanted to really make sure what you got out of this, this session is really hope. Hope and possibility for you too. And what we do in my program is just go deeper into the understanding that actually makes that happen. The how and the deep dive into yourself, understanding yourself, you knowing yourself, your patterns and your conditioning that's been deeply ingrained since childhood. And then emerging as that evolved, enlightened, highest self, like just like the butterfly emerges, right? And that takes commitment. That takes a consciously saying yes. Not like, yeah, I want to. Yeah, I want to. Like, I get this all the time. And I'm going to actually talk about it right now. I get this all the time when you know, I'm encouraging somebody or I want to give them some hope. And I get back a word that says, yes, inshallah, inshallah, inshallah. No. Inshallah means God willing. Well, where are you in the equation? Where's your accountability? You say, yes, you want it. What are you doing to show that you want it? Because there has to be accountability and responsibility in your part. Allah is not going to come and, you know, clean our house for us. He's not going to like to cook for us or take our children to school. We got to get up and move. And that's what this life is about. And so, you know, I wanted to leave you with this hope and really to commit to yourself, because Allah already created you whole, healthy, and valuable and worthy to be committed to yourself, to respect yourself, to value yourself. No more blaming, no more making excuses, this, that, him, her, right? And yeah, it's scary. Getting out of your comfort zone is scary. And that's why We all need help. We all need support. We need a guide. We need a coach. We need a mentor. And that's exactly why I created, you know, my program. And so I would be honored to support you on this journey of uncovering this beautiful self of yours underneath all of that, helping you get back to your fitra that Allah created you on, so you can step into and take charge of the beautiful life that you deserve. And so I'd love to connect with you. And these are the ways that you can connect with me through my website, or you can book an appointment and we can talk about your challenges and solutions that I have in my programs. At meetraisa.com. You can even go and take a look at my transformational program at this bit.ly link. You can also join my private Facebook group. And I have many women in there who are all in that space of different spaces, who are even married and were divorced before, or married and they're really struggling in their marriage and they want to do whatever they can to show up in their marriage in a way where they are active. Let's see here.
And just to mention as well, inshallah, that Sister Raisa, you can post these direct links in the Facebook group and we will send them out via email to everybody who signed up, inshallah. So sometimes a bit easier for people to click through from Facebook rather than, you know, from slides and stuff. But inshallah, yep, please do create a post in the Facebook group with the links and direct people to whatever it is that you have for them. I'm sure, mashallah, it's been, sisters, like, what are your thoughts? Just post in the chat, you know, what your takeaways are from Sister Raisa's presentation. I found it extremely valuable, mashallah. And really, I like the way that you approach this subject. It was really refreshing, mashallah. And I'd love to hear what the other attendees thought as well, inshallah, of you know, what their takeaways will be. And super pleased. Jazakallah khairan. Thank you so much.
I love that. Thank you. You took the words right out of my mouth. I want to hear your takeaways. I want to hear what you're leading with, what shifted for you, and how are you going to move forward? Yeah, so much to think about, right? Yeah. I know, right? So when we take it upon ourselves to learn more and know more, and so then, you know, like, when we know better, we can do better. Honed into my insecurities. Yeah, we all have them. Insightful, very helpful. Yeah, it was painful too. You're right. It can be really painful because when you sit and you think about all that's left on the table, all of your potential and all of what's possible for you, and not reaching for it or striving for it, that is an ache that really hurts your soul, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created you for much more than, you know, we have no idea what we're capable of. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, says to the angels, I know what you do not know about the creation that he created us. So we have no idea what our potential is until we try. And that can be painful by just not going for that. And I know there's, I know Sister Naima, you talk about this a lot, about, you know, your legacy, you know, what your purpose is and what actions you're taking to get you there. And not doing that is actually hurting yourself, and is harmful to the soul. It really hurts. Thank you, Jazakallah Khair, for sharing your takeaways. You know, and in the Facebook group, I'll pop up in there. And, you know, when you learn a lot of knowledge or information that settles, it takes time to absorb and settle, the insights and the takeaways, they keep coming. So, you know, keep yourself open to downloading new realizations that you have based on what you heard. And I appreciate your presence, your time, and choosing to share this time, and to share yourself with me in everything that you've experienced. Jazakallah khair. Ooh, we got this. Yeah, ooh, we both went, ew, ooh. Manila is saying, when you spoke about the design of relationships, I know you were referring to marriage. However, I had an aha moment. Oh, I love these. Any relationship, family, marriage, friendship, parent, child, strangers, etc., is not based on us depending on other people. It is based on us relying on Allah. How beautiful is this? SubhanAllah, you're right. Because if Allah is not between any and all of your relationships, it just becomes a battle of the ego. It becomes a relationship of the ego and the nafs. How beautiful is this? Additionally, every relation we have with people has something beautiful to teach us. For us to excel and be better, inshallah. For example, in many ways, it's about us learning to let go and realizing that nothing in this life lasts forever, and that this life is nothing but a short vacation where we get to plant the seeds for the next life, inshallah. Thank you for this lovely session. Boom! I think that Sister Manila, you know, really had some powerful insights and shifts. I love that. Thank you for sharing that. Thank you so much, Barakallahu feek, Raisa and Naima, heartfelt duas. Appreciate that. Okay, Habiba is saying, I've learned today from all the sessions that to give to others, our kids, spouses, and family, etc., we have to be whole. One thing I've taken away from this is when she said she left her children with Allah, mashallah, and taking that in everything, leaving everything to Allah after doing my part. Yeah, and guess what, sis? You already are whole. You just may not be seeing it in the moment, in that haze. Absolutely. So connecting back to that, getting back to the way Allah created you, right? A powerful reminder, my situation does not define me, and have qadr in Allah. You guys are nailing it, ladies. This, all of this is true. And to learn how to be this person, because you don't have to learn how to do it. You already know that it's a knowing and it's a being, and that how process and journey is what I do with ladies in my program. Everyone here, so much love, appreciation, and respect. Thank you, ladies. I'm just blown away by your sharing and opening up and just, you know, your presence today. Jazakallah khair.
I would just really like to thank you, sis, mashallah, for just coming with so much heart and, you know, just warmth and grace. I really like the way you spoke to the attendees, you know, just so lovingly and so respectfully and really kind of, yeah, because everybody did come, mashallah, to, you know, to share. And one thing that I'm really grateful for is the fact that everyone who has come to Virtual Salon and any Virtual Salon events, they know that this is a safe space. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. And so sisters do feel able to come and to share and be honest and be vulnerable. So sis, I want to ask, just thank you so much for, you know, making us all feel safe with you. And also thank you everyone who's here and everyone who's listening for coming ready to learn with open hearts, you know, and open minds. And yeah, just make dua that Allah blesses us with the very best of our circumstances, allows us to learn from our circumstances, and allows every opportunity for growth that is available to us bi-ithnillah, and puts barakah in it from beginning to end. Ameen. So sis, we'll see you hopefully in the Facebook group after this, inshallah. But that is, we are closing out day one of the Muslim Self-Care Conference. Woohoo! Just a little favor on everyone. Yes, yes. Woohoo! I'll see you bright and early at 10 a.m. inshallah tomorrow for all our high-flying or aspiring high-flying business women, professionals, action takers, go-getters for Sister Zahra's session. But for now, I will bid you farewell. Jazakallahu khairan, Sister Raisa. Subhanak Allahumma Rabbana bihamdik ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant wa astaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. Wa alaikum salam.